Our Lady's Seat of Wisdom, St. Joseph, St. Gregory the Great, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Pope St. Gregory was known for being a good pope in the pastoral sense. He did many things in his writings, and since he is a doctor of the church, he might say he was a doctor of pastoral theology, how to be a good pastor as pope, but as anyone who was going to be a good shepherd of the flock, how they were to shepherd their flock, especially in their moral guidance. Because first and foremost, a priest has to give moral teaching and to help people in the confessional, especially how to overcome their faults, to recognize first and foremost sins and what is the proper remedy for them, because many people don't realize that confession is not just a place to go and confess their sins, but also to receive a certain medicinal help to remedy those faults. And they should, hopefully, the pastor in the confessional will help them to know how they can overcome a particular habitual sin that they are having difficulty with. Otherwise, they will not be making very much progress without that remedy to help them, because every virtue is a help against a particular vice. The vices, as we know, are an absence of a particular virtue. So we have to know what that virtue is to help replace the vice and to fill in the void, you might say, that is in our moral well-being. Today also we celebrate Labor Day, and it's always good to reflect on the fact that the church is not only teaching us about what it is, you know, about what lies beyond the grave, the life that is eternal, but also the church has a very important role and has a very much to say about life while still in the world. This world is to be lived in a certain way that helps us to get to heaven. And all aspects of our life are governed by the church in one sense, and that it has wisdom to impart to us and how to live our life and how to conduct ourselves in such a way that we can get to heaven. And work is a very essential part of our life, our temporal life here on earth, and the church has much to say about the importance of work and the proper manner of work. Many would not even think of it as being work, but the first work that we have to do as man is the worship of God. For liturgy, liturgia, comes from the Greek words for public duty. You might say it's a public work. A duty is an obligated work that we have to do. And so the first work that we must do as mankind is to worship God. We never think of it as being necessarily as work, but it's something that we must do on a regular basis, and it is something that we are involved in for the building up of the kingdom of God. It's a part of our participation as children of God in the public worship. The first thing we must do is return back to God what is due to Him. You know, out of justice, we're to worship God. He's owed that because He created us, and He is divine, He is supreme being. We owe Him certain adoration. We owe Him our love and our praise and our worship. So that's the first work that we have to do. You know, liturgia maybe was in the early church was considered a public servant, someone who had a duty that they had to were obliged to do. In one sense, we're all public servants when it comes to the worship of God. There's no one who's exempt from the worship of God. We all have to return back to Him praise and adoration for what He has done for us, because He is God. He is a supreme being. We owe Him that, because everything we have and are comes from him. So we'd be a certain ingratitude on our part if we were to receive all this and not return thanks. That's why Eucharist means thanksgiving. We're thanking God for all that he has done for us, for the very fact he's brought us into being, and then even more so because he has redeemed us. So that's the first work we have to do. Then the other works that we do are temporal works that we do to make life better for us here on earth. And that's a very important thing. There's nothing wrong with trying to make life on earth better. You know, we work to either make, of course, first and foremost, to feed our families and ourselves, to put a roof over our head, to have certain comforts, you know, that we don't have to build a fire. We can then, you know, just have, you know, electric or gas heating or whatever, indoor plumbing, you know, it's a great blessing. You know, all these things to make life much more comfortable is not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. And all the works that we do, in one sense, are for the common good, but it would help build up society. Even the man who collects garbage, if he didn't do that, people would not be very happy. You know, they would be complaining. But it's important public service. And the ones who even work on their own, they provide a living for their family, or they help others because they are wealthy and they're able to start a business and they employ others, they are doing a good thing. And they are making something which may benefit others. These are all goods. The work that we do is for our temporal needs, but also, as we know, our Lord has said that the work of man is also for his sanctification, that by our work we also sanctify ourselves. One of the sad things today, though, about our society is that it has a rather distorted view and has, as in the past, once sometimes to pit those who have not against those who have, and that somehow that the working man is being oppressed if he doesn't have everything that his boss has and everything that the boss has is somehow, you know, that they are lording over those who are labor. But the church has tried to address even, you know, the relationship between capital and labor. And if you have opportunity, I'd encourage you to read the encyclicals of the church on the relationship between those who are you may say capital owners and those who are laborers, and the relationship that they should have with one another. The one in particular I'm thinking of is Rerum Novarum, written by Pope Leo XIII, written well before, you might say, the church is a great prophet, always sees things ahead of time and tries to address them. Pope Leo XIII wrote Rerum Novarum in the late 1800s, long before Lenin and Trotsky and the whole communist revolt would take place, to kind of say, here's the solution before the problem, you might say, even arises. And because the whole point with communism was it was to pit the lower classes against the upper classes, and that there was this class warfare. And you can see that even today in our current political scene, where this trying to pit those who have not against those who have, and that somehow, you know, they have to be like a modern-day Robin Hood and take from the rich to give to the poor, and that somehow there's this injustice. Well, there is an injustice in some things, but it may not be the way in which they are portraying it. Pope Leo XIII had this to say. I just wanted to share with you this little part of his encyclical. He says, "The great mistake made in regard to the matter of now under consideration is to take up with the notion that class is naturally hostile to class, and that the wealthy and the working men are intended by nature to live in mutual conflict. So irrational and so false is this view that the direct contrary is the truth. Just as the symmetry of the human frame is the result of the suitable arrangement of the different parts of the body, So in a state is it ordained by nature that these two classes should dwell in harmony and agreement so as to maintain the balance of the body politic. Each needs the other. Capital cannot do without labor, nor labor without capital. Mutual agreement results in the beauty of good order, while perpetual conflict necessarily produces confusion and savage barbarity. Now, in preventing such strife as this, and in uprooting it, the efficacy of Christian institutions is marvelous and manifold. First of all, there is no intermediary more powerful than religion, whereof the church is the interpreter and guardian in drawing the rich and the working class together by reminding each of its duties to the other and especially of the obligations of justice. Sad to say, though, I would add that in many cases those who are in the church who are promoting social justice seem to be more Marxist than Catholic. And that is a problem today. It seems that Satan has undermined and has infiltrated many places where they could do much good if they really promoted the Catholic teaching and not Marxism instead. He says, of these duties, the following bind the proletarian and the worker, fully and faithfully to perform the work which has been freely and equitably agreed upon, never to injure the property, nor to outrage the person of an employer, never to resort to violence in defending their own cause, nor to engage in riot or disorder, and to have nothing to do with men of evil principles who work upon the people with artful promises of great results and excite foolish hopes, which usually end in useless regrets and grievous loss. People who promise you hope and change. The following duties bind the wealthy owner and the employer: not to look upon their workpeople as their bondsmen, but to respect in every man his dignity as a person ennobled by Christian character. They are reminded that according to natural reason and Christian philosophy, working for gain is creditable, not shameful, to a man, since it enables him to earn an honorable livelihood. But to misuse men as though they were things in pursuit of gain, or to value them solely for their physical powers, that is truly shameful and inhuman. Again, justice demands that in dealing with the working man, religion and the good of his soul must be kept in mind. Hence, the employer is bound to see that the worker has time for his religious duties. Wouldn't that be something today if companies and corporations would realize that Sunday is not a day of work, that he be not exposed to corrupting influences and dangerous occasions, and that he be not led away to neglect his home and family or to squander his earnings. Furthermore, the employer must never tax his work people beyond their strength or employ them in work unsuited to their sex and age. His great and principal duty is to give everyone what is just. Doubtless, before deciding whether wages are fair, many things have to be considered, but wealthy owners and all masters of labor should be mindful of this, that to exercise pressure upon the indigent and the destitute for the sake of gain and to gather one's profit out of the need of another is condemned by all laws, human and divine. To defraud anyone of wages that are his due is a great crime which cries to the avenging anger of heaven. Behold, the hire of the laborer is worth his wage, which by fraud has been kept back by you, cries, and the cry of them has entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Lastly, the rich must religiously refrain from cutting down the workmen's earnings, whether by force, by fraud, or by usurious dealing, and with all the greater reason, because the laboring man is, as a rule, weak and unprotected, and because his slender means should, in proportion to their scantiness, be accounted sacred. Were these precepts carefully obeyed and followed out, would they not be sufficient of themselves to keep under all strife and all its causes? And then he says, but, you know, the church says that, you know, there are other things that can even elevate work even higher. And I would encourage you to look at this encyclical by Pope Leo XIII. It is a great gift to the church and to the world, and hopefully the more people who read it, they'll be able to incorporate these principles into the workplace and in our body politic, because our social doctrine of the church is meant for the good and harmonious conduct of society. And to the degree that Catholics, this is another work that we have to do, which all of our work is really subservient to, and that is to build up the kingdom of God. That whatever we do, we're helped to build up the kingdom of God in the world today. So I would encourage you to, that part of our, evangelistic efforts has to be in the workplace, that we try to bring these principles and to instill them in not only ourselves, but those around us by our good example and by being righteous, just, and good and upright people, that we can help build a true society that shows the true nature between labor and its importance with the ultimate goal of man in mind, and that is the salvation of his soul and for the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.